"I checked everything against the list Her Ladyship gave me, sir," said Detritus, meeting Vimes's gaze. "There wasn't anything missing, sir."
"I'll just go and take a look for myself," said Vimes.
When they were outside, he walked over to the coach and looked at the snow around it. The cobbles were visible here and there. Then he looked up at the grating.
"All right, Detritus," he said. "Talk to me."
"Just a feeling, sir," rumbled the troll. "I know Fick is my middle name."
"I didn't know you had a first name, Sergeant."
"I don't think this was one of them accidents that happens by accident."
"He might have fallen off the coach when he was unloading it," said Vimes.
"And I might be the fairy Clinker Bell, sir."
Vimes was impressed. This was low-temperature thinking from Detritus.
"The street doors is open," said Detritus. "I reckon Igor disturbed someone who was pinching stuff."
"But you said nothing was missing."
"Maybe the thief took fright, sir."
"What? At seeing Igor? Could be."
Vimes looked at the bags and boxes. Then he looked again. Things had been thrown down any old how. That wasn't how you unpacked a coach, unless you were looking for something in a real hurry. Who'd go to these lengths to steal food?
"Nothing was missing," he rubbed his chin. "Who packed the coach, Detritus?"
"Dunno, sir. I think Her Ladyship just ordered a lot of stuff."
"And we left in a bit of a rush, too."
Vimes stopped. Best to leave it there. He had an idea, but, well, where was the evidence? You could say nothing that should have been there was missing. So what must have been taken was something that shouldn't have been there. No. For now, it was just something to remember. They walked into the hall, and Vimes's eye fell on a pile of cards on a table by the door.
"There's been a lot of visitors," said Detritus.
Vimes took a handful of cards. Some of them had gold edging.
"Dem diplomatics all want you to come for drinky-poos and stories about chickens," the troll added helpfully.
"Cocktails, I think you'll find," said Vimes, reading through the pasteboards. Clatch, Muntab, Genua, Lanka.
Lanka? It's a kingdom you could spit across. They've got an embassy here."
"No, sir. Mostly they've got a letterbox."
"Will we all fit in?"
"They've rented a house for the coronation, sir."
Vimes dropped the invitations back onto the table.
"I don't think I can face any of this stuff," he said. "A man can only drink so much fruit juice and listen to so many bad jokes. Where's the nearest Clax Tower, Detritus?"
"About 15 miles hubwards, sir."
"I'd like to find out what's going on back home. I think that this afternoon, Lady Sybil and I will have a nice quiet ride in the country. It will take her mind off things."
Then he thought, "I'll wait until midnight, see? And it's still only lunchtime." In the end, Vimes took Igor as driver and guide, and the guards Tantony and the one he would forever think of as Colonescu. Skimmer still hadn't returned from whatever nefarious expedition was occupying his time, and Vimes was damned if he'd leave the embassy unguarded. Yet another word for diplomat, Vimes mused, was spy. The only difference was that the host government knew who you were. The game was to outwit them, presumably. The sun was warm, the breeze was cold, the mountain air made every peak look as if Vimes could reach out and touch it. Outside the town, snow-covered vineyards and farms clung to slopes that in Ankh Morpork would be called walls, but after a while the pine forests closed in. Here and there, at a curve in the road, the river was visible far below. Up on the box, Igor was crooning a lament.
"He told me Igor's heal very fast," said Lady Sybil.
"They'd have to."
"Mr. Skimmer said they're very gifted surgeons, Sam."
"Except cosmetically, perhaps." The coach slowed.
"Do you come up here a lot, Igor?" said Vimes.
"Mr. Sleeps used to have me drive over once a week to collect messages, master."
"I'd have thought it'd be easier to have a pick-up tower in Bonk."
"The council are dead against it, sir."
"And you?"
"I am very modern in my outlook, sir."
The tower loomed quite close now. The first 20 feet or so were of stone with narrow barred windows. Then there was a broad platform from which the main tower grew. It was a sensible arrangement. An enemy would find it hard to break in or set fire to it. There was enough storage room inside to see out a siege, and the enemy would be aware that the lads inside would have signalled for help 30 seconds after the attack began. The company had money. They were like coaching agents in that respect. If a tower went out of action, someone would be along to ask expensive questions.